Amen. Praise God. We are on Thursday night, we dealt with the subject of Mary's peace. Some powerful insights there. If you haven't heard it, it's still in the mini balance, but there's some new things that have been added. So if you haven't listened, get in there and have a listen on that from Thursday night. We dealt with Mary's, basically her journey into that one wonderful moment where God used her to draw out the miracle ministry of Jesus. She stayed joined with the Father throughout the years with the word, the rhemas that she heard. And because of how she stayed joined, she stayed in a place where peace, where the covenant of God's peace could be made manifest. And when he manifested that first miracle through Mary's joining, how she did not allow situations, even her own son trying to deter her, I believe he was testing her, to be honest with you. And she still didn't back down. She didn't back down from what she was joined to. She was joined to a revelation that he was the Christ, the Amen. Son of the living God.
Amen.
And as she stayed there, it created, he said his hour had not yet come, but she didn't care that he said that. She went beyond that. He's saying, listen, the word hour meant it's not time for instantaneous miracles. It means instantaneously. It means instant. And she was still saying, no, you can make this water into wine. Whatever you do, just get the wine here instantly. And her joining and being joined to the rhema that she had heard created an atmosphere of miracles. And in that miracle, we're going to do a little bit deeper of a case study on that today than we did on Thursday. We're going to go a little bit deeper. And then we're going to move on and then finish out the balance. Today is the last day of the mini balance. And then we go right back into the series and the new rhemas on peace that God wants to share. And so here we go. Part five, Mary's peace became contagious. It became contagious in Galilee. And this is a deeper understanding of Mary's peace and what it produced, or what it does produce, or what it produces. Because the same way Mary held on, and if you do the same, you're going to create an atmosphere of the miraculous. You're going to create an atmosphere where God begins to do what the world doesn't want to do. You're going to create an atmosphere of absolute supernatural, where change is imminent. It will not be stopped by anything. If we do what Mary did, we'll get what Mary got. And so in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, we're going to read the account again. It says in verse number one, it says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they had wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto him, saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that it was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Well, we understand what Mary went through to hold on to that, to hold on to the fact that he was and is the Christ. We understand that when he was, before he was born, God gave a rhema. When he was born, the day of his birth, God gave her more rhema through the shepherds. She held on to those words that the shepherds came and they spoke over, over her atmosphere. People were confused by it, but she kept them in her heart. Then again, when he turns 12, he's battling back and forth with those guys, or not really battling, but he's ministering to those doctors and lawyers and all of the Sanhedrin in the temple. And they were all astonished at his doctrine. And he left his mother. And we understand that when she went back to get him, she rebuked him. And he asked her, he said, "Woman, what do I have to do with thee?" He says, "No, you're not that I have to be about my father's business." And these things Mary kept in her heart, these sayings. So it comes up to the time where she's going to need those sayings. And this was it. The birthing of his miracle ministry started here. And there's a mighty significance that God showed me, and I taught on it during the series, but we're going to go a little bit deeper into it today. What was the significance of Jesus turning water into wine? It was more than just keeping them in their glorious, having a glorious time at this wedding feast. It went way beyond that. There's something that was so prophetic and profound that took place here. And I kept digging, and I dug some more even after he revealed it. I went in some more to find out a little bit more. And there was a major significance, because this is the first miracle. This is the origin place of miracles in Jesus's ministry. And we see how it was brought out of him through Mary's joining to the rainbow and not letting go, staying in a place of peace concerning who he was. She didn't move. But there's a significance, because there's a story that's still being told by the miracle itself. Amen. Something is being said here, and it's really powerful. And it's actually the miracle becomes the formula of how to stay in the place of joining, or the place of peace, and how to extract the miraculous. We look at two words. We look at the number six, and we look at the word purifying. The word six means hex. We understand that a hexagon has six sides, but it actually translates hex. And when you look at the definition of hex, it does speak to a bewitchment. It speaks of being bewitched. A hex is, it's also, the number six is the number of man. So really it's pointing, why would it have six water pots? God doesn't do anything, and he doesn't waste moments, and he doesn't waste numbers and symbols and things of that nature. There's significance behind it. Six being the number of man, also being hex in the Greek, it's talking about man's bewitchment. Watch me now. It's talking about the bewitchment of man. In Galatians 3:1, it says this: "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth and crucified among you?" So now it's talking, there is a bewitchment that can come. And there's a bewitchment that did come. But watch this. This miracle had major, major significance. The word bewitched itself means malign. If you can hear me, just say amen.
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 All right. The word bewitched means amen. Malign. Or it means to fascinate by false representations. This is the Greek definition, not your Strong's. This comes right out of your Bible. So it means a malign, it being maligned. It means to fascinate by false representations. The word malign means this, watch this: influence in which the effects are evil in nature. So this miracle is about to open a door to where man's bewitchment, or being maligned by the enemy, would be broken. This one miracle, this first miracle, is saying by the way that Mary stayed joined to the word in spite of Jesus telling her, "My hour has not yet come." There was a significance that Mary had to press for, because this was the place where the bewitchment of the enemy could be broken, and God would show forth his glory to show that we don't have to stay under the influence that's evil in nature.
Amen.
We don't have to stay in false representations any longer. If we too would stay joined to the rhema word, the miracle, the bewitchment of the adversary, the curse of Adam would be broken off of our lives. The way things are and the way things are supposed to be governed by this world is not so. We've been bewitched. We've been maligned for a long time. But Mary carried a word about who he was, never letting it go. And she's moving, and she probably doesn't understand why she's being so adamant herself. She's probably just thinking, they need more wine. We're in a fix. You need to do something. It might have been just for that moment, but God gave her the strength to stick with it for a greater purpose than just making wine at a wedding.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
The fascination by false representation was now about to be broken if somebody would learn to stay joined to the rhema word. Watch this. Watch this now. Now, remember, the six water pots were filled to the brim. Now, the water pots were, in a sense, they were representing purifying, which purifying here is the definition of purifying means expiation. It's really deep. It's more than just washing their feet. It was more than just washing their hands or preparing them to be clean before or while coming into the house. But it really, to the Jew, it was a form of expiation. And that's, you know what expiation is. We all know what that is. That comes by way of propitiation. And the word, the purifying means expiation. Now, listen to the definition, which you've already heard, but we're going to go a little bit further in the definition itself of expiation. It means the act of making amends or reparation for guilt or wrongdoing. It's atonement. So now those six water pots representing the number of man were for expiation purposes. And the deeper side, the spiritual side, the rhema side of it saying that this here, this purifying, what I'm going to use are these water pots that are designed for expiation. But watch this. I said to fill them to the brim. That's what he wants to do with us in this joining, in this covenant of peace.
Amen.
Fill us to the brim.
Yes.
That being filled to the brim will cause, watch this now, it will cause this hex or this bewitchment, this place of false representation to be broken from off of our eyes. We'll start seeing into the way the kingdom operates. All this by Mary's staying joined is being spoken to us.
Hallelujah, God.
If you get filled, if you allow the propitiating power, the propitiating force of expiation, meaning the act of making amends or reparation, no more guilt, no more shame, no more fear, no more doubt. If you allow that thing, let it fill you to the brim. The way that the world and the way that you've been born in sin and shaping in iniquity is going to fall off of you. The maligning of the enemy will be broken off of you. The word reparation means this, the making of amends for a wrong one has done. Look at that. We know who started this mess. We know it was Satan, but we know good and well Adam's wrongdoing, the curse of one, the Bible says, has brought us all down. We, by coming into this, this is the depth of this significance of this miracle. The wrongdoing of Adam that brought us under this curse will be destroyed if we get filled to the brim. If we allow our vessels to be filled with his expiating power.
Yes, Lord. Yes, God.
The curse of Adam is destroyed. The hex of the enemy is destroyed. Now we enter into a realm of supernatural and miracles because we're joined properly. We now come into a realm where all things are now possible with God. We enter into the place of the kingdom in its totality. So Mary's peace was so powerful and spoke so loudly. And it brought forth.
Amen.
It brought forth a place. It established such a foundation, such an origin of what would take place. You're one of those six water pots. I am too. Jesus said it for a reason. Fill them to the brim. Give no place, the Bible says, to the devil. There's your comparison. Give no place. Make no provisions for the flesh. That's what the Bible says. Fill the water pots to the brim. And I'm going to turn water into wine.
Hallelujah.
The new wine of the Spirit. You know what that announces to us? You know what that denotes? That denotes, man, the life of the Spirit in its totality. The new wine. When we're sick, we can be healed without having to go to the doctors. Fear will not control us. Why? Because we're filled to the brim.
Hallelujah.
My God, the life of the kingdom will be extracted just by, my goodness, just by this one prophetic miracle. If we allow him to fill us to the brim.
Bless
all
God.
Of the ways of man, all of the hex that has been on man is no longer there. Because reparation sets in and he's made an amends for one person's wrongdoing. And that's Adam, the sins of Adam that have trickled down to us and that have brought us into this pseudo world. This pseudo world, that's what I call it, a pseudo type world. This is not God's intention. And so God wants to open us up and he wants us to take a look at Mary's piece. Take a page out of Mary's book. Be dogmatic about what the Lord is saying. Be dogmatic in his presence. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Be dogmatic about it. And my gosh, my gosh, my gosh. You see, sometimes Jesus, the Bible says he's the same yesterday and today. He be trying people, man. He does. He tries us. He tries us. There's times where God will try us. He did it to his own mother. He did it to the nobleman. He did it to so many. He always said, if you don't, do you believe? All things are possible. Well, I don't think you believe. I think you're just here for the fish and the loaves. I think you just said, he tries people. What do I have to do with thee, woman? My hour is not yet. He tries people. Sometimes your miracle is hanging there because he's trying you. He's trying to see, are you going to stick with the rhema? Are you going to stick with what I've said? Are you going to continue in doing what I said to do? Let me see who you really are. The trying of your faith really is more precious. Why? Because it's going to birth a miracle Amen. Signs and wonders in your
Amen.
Life.
Amen. Amen.
So there are times where he will try you and he's treating you just like he treated his own mama. What do I have to do with thee, woman? My hour has not yet come. Sometimes you're under the same trial. Are you going to back down because he's trying you? You know he's the purifier of silver and gold. You know he's the tester. And if he's not the tester, he created another tester. Come on now. Come on, fill the water pots to the brim. Fill. No room for doubt. No room for shame. No room for any of it. Guilt. No room. No, man, Jesus said it like this when the devil came at him. He said, what are you looking at me for? You have nothing in me in which to draw from. My water pot is filled to the brim. So now that's what this wonderful miracle was signifying. Mary's peace opened up a realm for us. And the way she got water turned into wine is the same way your miracles are going to come. Whatever he says, whatever he tells you, do. Just do it.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
So the number six translates hex in the Greek, as we said. Here's your note. Hex means bewitched or maligned. And six is also the number of man. And the word purifying means expiation. The six water pots were filled to the brim by the order of Jesus. The significance of the water becoming wine is that when men are fully expiated, the hex or the curse of man will be broken. Adam's wrongdoing, which became our curse, will be broken. Mary's peace is a staple for all of us to know and understand. When we approach Christ with his rhema, we will see and experience the Father's desired results in our lives. His miracle-working power will be fully activated, and man's maligning will be broken. We will see things the way that the Father intended us for us to see them. We will see his glory, because that's what he manifested after this miracle. We will see his glory, and it will cause a domino effect on others. We will all have experienced the filling of our water pots. We have felt the power. You all have felt this before. You felt the power of it when he filled your water pots to the brim when you were in that situation, or you're feeling disconnected. You got in the rhema word just one time. Just one time you got in the rhema, you felt the filling of your water pot, and all of a sudden expiation set over you. You felt this. We've all felt this. We have all experienced the filling of our water pots. We've all felt the power of God mend our maligned areas. We've all felt this. Now imagine this. This is what the Lord poses to us. Imagine what he could do if we lived in Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Stayed meaning lean upon, stayed meaning sustained. Imagine what he can do if your water pot stays filled. Imagine. You've experienced it when you felt far away from him. You came back in and expiation filled you, and God moved to open a door for you. Imagine if you lived in Isaiah 26:3. Shalom, shalom would be yours all the time. Perfect peace, whose mind, whose water pot stays filled to the brim, without breaking, without falling. So we see this thing, it becomes a little contagious now. We see this nobleman who comes in, who's had to have heard the story of the water turned to wine. How do I know this? Because that was the only real testimony out there of Jesus. This man didn't, he wasn't at the wedding, but he come and extracts the second miracle in Cana of Galilee. So it tells me that this man heard the story of what Mary did to extract a miracle.
Amen.
This nobleman comes with the same exact attitude. I want Mary's attitude. Somebody say amen if you want it too. Mary's attitude to where I'm dogmatic about what I know, that I'm not moving or being moved by what's around me or even my Lord's delay, because he wants to test me. It still won't move me from knowing he can and he will. I want Mary's attitude. This man comes with Mary's attitude. So Jesus came again, it says in John 4:46-54. It says, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea and into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. I love the nobleman's response. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down, or my child die. Jesus, he stopped him right there. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. See, I dive into it when I read, and I'm with the Lord. I dive into the entirety of the account that's being said, and I look at the times and I measure things out, and God will explain these things to you. And I'm sitting there saying, there's no way this guy had the same attitude that Mary had in that kitchen when Jesus needed to make some more wine. She didn't care what he had to say. This man did not care what Jesus had to say about lest you see signs and wonders. He's like, man, listen here, come down or my child die. Jesus said, okay, he must have heard about my mama. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And he was now, excuse me, And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And he himself believed, and his whole house, became contagious. Mary's way, Mary's peace needs to become contagious. We need to be diseased with her peace.
Amen.
We need to have her mindset concerning this. This woman, now, you don't have to strive 30 years like she did. She didn't let go for 30 years, didn't let go of who he was. For 30 years, seeing him play outside and do the things he did, looking like a normal person. But in her heart, she kept the rhema. And when the time was come, she came in and broke out and came in and got him into his miracle ministry. Started launching it. The origin place was right there. And it was Mary's peace that brought it forth. She stayed so joined to it. This man was joined to, Mary's testimony, keeping the same attitude as Mary, and gets the same exact results, seeing the same anointing come in instantly in healing. So this man heard of how the mother of Jesus came to him. He must have heard of her relentless pursuit and her faith. Hallelujah. And how she was joined to the truth. He heard of her expiation. He heard that this was how the Lord performed the miracle of the water to wine. He took the same expiated attitude and did not stop coming to Jesus, even when the Lord tried him by saying, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The man said, sir, come down and see about my son, lest he dies. Jesus, seeing this man's vessel was filled to the brim with expiation, he then says, go thy way, thy son liveth. He instantly receives the miracle he was looking for. This is noted as the second miracle, guys. A domino effect is waiting for us, God says. A domino effect of miracles are waiting. Who's going to be the first in TGM to stand up? Who's going to be the first to be filled to the brim and create a domino effect in our community, in our ministry, in our lives? Who's going to be the first? Will somebody step out and go beyond the norm, staying put, filled to the brim? I know we've got testimonies, but I'm looking, my God, and I'm not negating and I'm not belittling anything God has already done, but I am looking for this to become our lifestyle, to where this domino effect stays on our ministry, because we stay in this covenant of peace. Amen. And my Amen. God, miracle after miracle after miracle Amen. After miracle. We're living in an atmosphere of miracles. We're living in the kingdom. We can start domino effects. I believe with all my heart, God has revealed to me, we carry the ministry of reconciliation. We can bring the whole entire body up to a whole nother level if we'll stay filled to the brim. You can see it the way that God, our Father, has intended for it to be. There are many fig trees out there that are not growing fruit. And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about there are many things in this world that is so out of order. But if somebody stays in Mary's peace, if somebody walks there like she did, we'll make the changes. We'll see the changes. It'll begin to spread. They'll begin to say how they stood up to this and how they didn't back down. It'll begin to spread. Social media will take wind of it. It'll begin to spread. It'll create a domino effect of the miraculous power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of our Father. It will release.
Yes, God.
Truth on another level. You too will start a domino effect of his miracles. You'll start it. You can't be moved from what you've been hearing. You can't be moved from the way that he's been teaching you. And you've got to become more dogmatic with it, because sometimes it's not the situation testing you. It's merely the Lord seeing. Are you going to hold? Are you going to stay joined? Are you going to look to the left? Are you going to look to the right? Are you going to keep your head straight? Come on. Come on. Come on. Quit yourself. Gird yourself up. Come on and stay joined. Stay joined. I know things look tough. Things don't look good. Stay joined. Don't you lose your place of peace. Because there's prosperity. There's restoration. Restitution. It's all waiting for you in his peace. The whole purpose of this mini balance was talking about us staying joined. Every part of this little mini balance that we did was referring to being joined.
Amen. Amen.
I believe that is the greatest, and that is the place where it's all predicated is in the joining. The predication of peace is in the joining. Will you stay joined to the Rhema word, which is equivalent to being joined to the Father? Will you stay and remain in a place of absolute expiation, to where the propitiating power of Christ is taking over your whole mind? Not just your Sunday morning mind, but your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and all the way to Saturday mind as well. Three other areas that God wanted to balance us in before I close out. I won't be long. Three other areas. So now we got a good record of Mary's peace. We see the results. We understand the prophetic significance of it. We understand what it'll produce over and over and over and over again. Then there's three other areas that the Lord wanted to talk to you real quick about. The first one is keeping his path straight. We learned in the series. Keeping it straight, making it easy for him to reach you. In Luke chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, it says, as it is written in the book of Isaiah, in the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. I love that. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. The word straight means at once or immediately. That in this particular rhema, this is talking about when we keep his path straight, we give him direct access. There's no obstacles. There's nothing that he has to deal with you about before he can reach out and produce restoration and restitution in your life. There's nothing that he has to deal with when his path is made straight. That just means staying joined, staying in the place of expiation, staying in the covenant of his peace, the place of propitiation. That's all it means. You give him the ability to touch you immediately. And it means straightway. The word straightway here, it means in a direct course. And he's able to reach you just right through. Unfortunately, times God has to dip to the left to deal with this so he can come back to deal with what you're asking for. There's oftentimes he has to do that. Oftentimes he has to get you back on course again, get you back mounted on the ark of the seat of propitiation. And oftentimes because we're not in that place, we're not in the joining. But if you stay there, you give a direct course where he can reach you. We keep his path straight by staying joined. We give him direct access, and every fleshly area of our life is going to see salvation. All flesh will see salvation. There's a lot of meanings behind that. But one of them is everything in your life that's carnal will see salvation. Every single place, every valley will be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight. The rough ways shall be made smooth, meaning easy access. Easy access. Hallelujah. So that's what it means when you're keeping his path straight. So straight, just, I mean, just right there in a direct course at once or immediately. And that's what we're going to give him as we continue to stay joined. We're going to give him easy access. I love when I lift my hands to the Lord. And I love when I can discern that I'm in a place that he's pleased with. There's no greater feeling of being able to lift your hands and know that there's nothing in the way between you and God, that you are with God. You're at peace with God. There's no better feeling. That's why, man, you can lift up holy hands without wrath or doubt, because the way is made straight and you know there's immediate results. My God, there's no better feeling where you don't have to supplicate in prayer. You just make a request known. There's no supplication. There's no walking the floor. And usually when you're walking the floor about something, it's because there's something in you that's blocking him. It's all right. You don't have to say amen. It's still the truth.
It is the truth.
There's something in you. When you're in a place of supplicating, oftentimes you're supplicating because there's something in you in the way. When I believe it was when the prophet prayed, I believe it was Elijah, when he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. The word earnestly denoted that he was in a position. He was in a right position for prayers to be heard. That's earnest prayer. It's not long dragged out prayer. It's just being in the right place with God. Ha, glory be to God. And then it didn't rain for 3 years. Then he earnestly prayed for rain and it came back again. 3 years later, this man's found in the same position for God to hear him. There's a difference when the path is made straight. So he wants you to keep that balance. Let's start making it easy for him. Let's stop being his worst obstacle. We ourselves, his worst obstacle. Come on. Let's keep it right. Let's keep it right there with him. Let's stay and continue being his righteousness.
Amen.
Through Christ. And number two, the second one he wanted to make sure you don't fall away from. Only sow seed from the joining. Don't sow from any other place but being joined. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver." And this is where we get into it here. The word bountifully means utterance or polished language. We sow by his utterance. In fact, it goes on to meaning uttered by a living voice, an invocation of blessing. All right. So now watch this. When you're sowing, you should be sowing because you've heard the utterance of the living voice. And watch what happens. You become cheerful by just hearing the living voice, which means propitious or expiated. Just one word is all you need. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "You guys are clean by the words in which I've spoken." So expiation sets in when you hear the utterance of the living voice. This denotes we're joined. Expiation is us. Plication is the Father. The two beings that have been propitiated. We touch our expiated place. He's in his placated place by the blood. And now we're joined. This is how we sow. By being under propitiation. And we've heard, and I'm telling you, when you hear the utterance of the living voice, that's the best time to release your seed, the best time to release your tithe, the best time to release any offering you're going to give is by the utterance of the living voice. Because when he utters it, my goodness, your cheerfulness is coming because of the expiation that you're experiencing.
Amen. Amen.
It's not ha ha he he. No. No, you're full of, man, your cheerfulness is coming because you're propitious, expiated. And that's the time to sow. That means you're sowing from the joining, from the place of peace. There's no struggle in releasing the seed. Why? Because you're expiated. It doesn't matter how much. In fact, when you hear God's voice, it doesn't matter how much he's telling you. You're just so joyous, man. You're so full of cheer. You're so full of, oh, man, it's just to hear. It's a wonderful thing.
Yes,
and it gives you this bounce to sow the seed. That's because you're sowing from the joining. You're sowing from peace. You're not sowing grudgingly. Boom. Or I'm going to say, got to give my tithes again. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man, I need this. No. You don't sow grudgingly, and you don't sow out of necessity. Mm-mm. You sow from a place of cheerfulness, which comes from hearing the utterance of the living voice, which expiates and propitiates right there. Now you're joined. And that God so loves a cheerful giver. The word giver means to give to one asking. Now you can release to the one that's asking very easily. Yeah. Yeah. No. You hear that. It's a little bit deeper than what you just took it. The word giver means you're giving to one asking. There's a connection there. You heard God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now you're a giver.
Amen.
You're not a giver because you're taking money out of your bank account. You're a giver because you're giving what he asked. Jesus.
Amen, God.
Because you're joined. He said, lift your hands right there for a moment. Lift your hands right there. You make us all givers, Lord. Make us all givers. Because we give to the one that's asking. We're hearing the utterance of your living voice, which has expiated us, joined us perfectly. Make us real givers. And let us experience the harvest of your kingdom.
Yes.
Yes,
Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Seal that. Seal it. Seal it, Jesus. Seal it, Master. Ooh, glory be to God. Oh, yes. We should only be giving by the utterance of the living voice in which propitiates and causes the mind to be at peace. Sowing from peace will invoke his blessing and authority. This is all because we're giving to the one that asked, God our Father. So balance that. Keep that in your balance. Keep that. And the third and last one, it brings us right back to where we are now in the series. It's time to give the more earnest heed. It's time, TGM. There's so much weight and so much insight, revelation, rhema, that we must give the more earnest heed. We have to. It's too much. It's too much in reference to trying to live a double lifestyle. It's too much to try to be a sometimer in this word. It's too much. To whom much is given, much is required. Therefore, it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 1-5, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. He put it into Christ's hands. The world is subject unto him. Why wouldn't we take or give the more earnest heed? The whole world is subject to him. The worlds to come are subject to him. Now watch this. The word earnest means more frequent. We need more time. That's right. You may not like it. Three times a day, told you that was just where we start. God told me that. But God is calling, he's calling for us to come in and go out no more. He's calling for us to truly, truly live by this word, to live by faith, to stay in the covenant of his peace. He's calling us here. And so he's looking for more frequent. He's looking for much more, it says, exceeding some number or measure or rank or need. Huh. Over and above. More than is necessary. In other words, we don't just hang with God because we have needs. We hang with God because he's our life.
Amen.
We chill with him because he's our life. Because in everything we do, he makes it better. So we're, the earnest heed is for the people that are saying, listen, I'm not just coming in your presence because I need. I'm coming in your presence because I like hanging. I love you. You make me feel great. In everything I'm doing, my life is better. I just, listen, that's what it means to come in more earnest heed. You're coming in because you're just, you've been raptured in his love. And so the earnest heed is birthing out from a place way beyond necessity. And what it means here, also it means heed. The word heed means to hold the mind. The more earnesty, so when my heed becomes earnest, it will hold my mind steady. In other words, it takes us right back to where we were. It keeps my water pot filled to the brim. I'm filled to the brim because my heed is earnest. It's beyond necessity. I'm addicted to you. That's the place you want to be in. That's the place where staying joined is not a chore at all. At all. It's all fellowship. It's all relationship. So it means to hold the mind or to pay attention. It means to devote thoughts and effort to. All right. The word slip. This is what I like. If we take the earnest heed, we won't let the salvation slip. We won't let this thing slip. And what it means is the word slip means lest the salvation which these things heard show us how to obtain slip away from us. So now God is teaching us how to obtain, how to win, how to be victorious. If we don't take the earnest heed, it slips away. Now we understand why there's no miracle working power flowing like it should, because we let it slip. We detach from the place of being joined. We detach from the place of peace. And when you detach, you're also allowing the salvation, which has been ordained to show up by what you've heard, to also slip away. Yeah. So we got to give more time. Got to learn to fall deeper in love. And you will, trust me. You will. Hallelujah. You will. And then the salvation in which that you're hearing in the words you're hearing, it won't elude you. It'll be right there for you. It's easy for God. Evangelist Darrell, God says to tell you, it's easy for him. It's really easy. No worries. It's easy.
Amen.
Ah, yes.
Amen.
Just stay here with me. Do you think you could hang out with me and me being who I am, see what you need and not take care of what you need? Are you kidding me? If you're walking with me, I'm the ruler of heaven and earth. And it's my good pleasure to give you all that I've got. There's no way I'm not going to take care of you. Just give me the more earnest heed. Come above necessity. Don't heed because of need. Come up. Come beyond it. Oh, yes. Seek ye first me, and everything else will be added. Seek ye me, because I am my kingdom. Just stay in love with me. I got you. I got you. I got you. I got you. So we're hearing from the Living Voice TGM, and I'm closing, and every instruction, Rhema, is teaching us how to truly obtain. Our attention has to elevate to the place where it's the most frequent thing we are hearing. It has to totally dominate anything and everything. It has to exceed in rank and measure. It has to hold our minds. For to stay joined is to stay in peace. If we stay joined, we stay in peace. Now, everybody under the sound of my voice right this very moment, I can tell you this, and I know this is true, praise God. You are in the place of the more earnest heed. You're in the place where God wants you to be. You're in a place of absolute peace. You're right where you belong. Jesus, you're right where you belong. The hex, the curse of man, is nowhere near you. It's nowhere near you, right? This very moment, your water pot is filled to the brim. Your vessel is filled. Lift your hands one last time. Your vessel is filled right this moment. Your vessel is so filled. There's no room for anything else but me to produce. Let the miracles and signs and wonders in which you need, let them freely come forth. Yes. I've got your attention. I've got your mind. And I've elevated you into a place of absolute peace. This peace indicates that you're not here for needs. Peace overrules needs. The need is not pushing you. It's my peace that's pushing you now. And because of this, I will perform. Stay with me. Stay close to me. Oh, God. Stay close to me. Stay joined. The expiating force of my son's blood is with you. Stay in covenant with me, your Father. Stay by my side and let me take care of you. Let me take care of you. I do the works. I'll show you I do the works. It's an outbreak, even now. There's an outbreak happening in your atmosphere even now. I'm letting your troubles and problems, I'm letting them know I'm coming. I'm coming. So they're being silenced right now. They're being silenced. Same way my son stilled the waters and the rains and the winds is what I'm doing to your problems right now. Peace is fueling you, not need. My peace is fueling you, not your needs. You're free. You're free. Ooh. Only thing left now is for you to say thank you. First, say thank you to my son for his sacrifice. And then you can thank me in his name, in his temperament. My plan of redemption is in full operation. And it's going to yield. Nothing but the best for your life. I'm moving things around. Pages are turning, chapters are ending. Newness is about to begin. Ooh, Lord. Effortless victory.
Hallelujah, Lord.
It's coming to you. Stay here. Stay in my peace. Stay here. I'm giving you an invitation to abide, not just visit. Mahistiva Suravanya Kostunanimala. Ooh, Jesus, his presence is here. Master, we thank you. Master, we thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen, Lord. Amen. Amen, Jesus. Glory be to God. Ooh, Master, thank you for your presence. Thank you for this anointing. Ooh, Jesus. A couple comments came in. Elder Donna says, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, be all the glory. Elder Allison says, hallelujah, filled to the brim. Evangelist Darrell says, hallelujah, all praises to our God. Elder Donna says, thank you, Lord. And Elder Allison says, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Ah, yes, Lord Jesus, yes. If you were maligned prior to being on the line, you're not maligned now. You're not under any false representation any longer. You're being represented by the King of Kings and by the Lord of Lords. You're under what he says, his rule, his ruler of all. Father. Jesus, bless you. Stand still and see his salvation.
Yes.
Stand still. I'm telling you now. Stand still. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sow by the utterance of the living voice. Listen to him. You that give tithes, listen to him. Hear him tell you, release the tenth in worship. Listen to whatever seeds he has you sow. Listen to him. Open your heart. Hear what he has to say. Give to the one that's asking. That's a giver. Give to the one that's asking.
Hallelujah.
For God so loveth a cheerful giver. Expiated, propitious. A total peace, whatever he says. Hallelujah, Master. Those are seeds of glory that bring forth, my goodness, food for your table, and he multiplies the seed sown. He takes you over and above. Those are the kind of seeds, propitious seeds. So if you're going to be giving today, as you do, you can give via Cash App. That's $ True Gospel Men's, M-I-N-S. If you're Zelling, look for the True Gospel logo in your Cash App. If you're Zelling, you can Zell at True Gospel Men's, M-I-N-S, at AOL.com. And that's with your online banking, True Gospel Men's at AOL.com. Praise God. That's all I got for you today. I pray that you were blessed. I look forward to hearing you guys again this upcoming week on Tuesday, back in our morning.